Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This is the open meeting of the Pacifica National Board on Thursday, August 1st, 2019. And Mr. Secretary Bill Crozier, can you please call the roll?
Okay. Gracie Aaron.
Here.
Listeners, a representative from KPFK. Sorry. Okay, thanks, Grace. Gary Bost, I think he asked for an excused absence. He's an affiliate representative from Cerebral Radio. Robin Collier, affiliate representative, KCEI.
Present.
Hey, Robin is here. Thank you. Chris Corey, listener representative, KPFA.
Here.
Chris is here. Thank you. Bill Crozier, listener representative, KPFT. I'm here. Donald Goldmecker, listener representative, KPFA.
Here.
Donald's here. Thank you. Jan Goodman, listener representative, KPFK.
Here.
Dan is here. Thank you. Sabrina Jacobs, staff representative, KPFA.
She asked for excuse absent, not feeling well.
Oh, okay. Wally James, staff representative, KPFT.
Here.
Hey, Wally's here. Dwayne Lark, listener representative, KPFT. Can't hear you, Dwayne.
Bill, Sabrina is here.
Sabrina, you're here. Great. Thank you. Okay. Adrian LaViolette, listener representative, KPFT. Adrian?
Here.
I know she's said. Oh, okay. Okay, Adrian's here. Martha Peterson, listener representative, WPFW, asked for an excused absence. Ron Pinchback, staff representative, WPFW.
Here.
Ron is here. Ralph Pointer, listener representative, WBAI. Can't hear you, Ralph. Lawrence Reyes, listener representative, KPFK.
Present.
Lawrence is here. Sean Rhodes, staff representative, WPAI.
I'm here.
Okay, Sean is here. Eileen Roslin, listener representative, WPFW.
I am here.
Eileen's here. Mansoor Sabah, listener representative, KPFK.
Hazir, and I apologize to Sabrina. I thought she sent an email that said I'm not going to be on the call, so I do apologize.
Oh, no, it's okay, Mansoor. No, I did send an email. I'm going to try to stay on as long as I can.
Okay, and I got both of you as Mark present. James Segerton, listener representative, WBAI.
Present.
James is here. Nancy Sorden, listener representative, WPFW. Can't hear you, Nancy. Alex Steinberg, listener representative, WBAI, asked for an excused absence. Tom Voorhees, listener representative, KPFA, asked for an excused absence. John Berniel, our new interim ED.
I'm here.
John is here, and welcome. John Tatum, parliamentarian.
I'm here.
Okay, John is here. The other John, thank you. Tamara Swiderski, our interim CFO.
I'm here.
We're here. Great. Okay, let me go back. I didn't hear Dwayne Lark. Are you here, Dwayne?
Present.
Dwayne is here. Thank you. Ralph Pointer, are you here? Can't hear you, Ralph. Nancy Sorden from WBFW. Are you here, Nancy? Can't hear you, Nancy. Let me count, see how many we have. We have 16 directors present, so we have quorum.
Thank you very much, Bill. All right. The next thing on the agenda is excused absences. We've received excused absence requests from Gary Bost, Alex Steinberg, and Tom Voorhees. I would entertain a motion to excuse those absences.
Jan Goodman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sabrina, second.
I'll second. Also, Martha.
That's right, Martha.
Martha Peterson.
Martha Peterson from WPFW. All right. So, is it okay if we add Martha to your motion, Jan? And
absolutely.
Okay. And second? Sabrina, is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to excusing the absences for Gary Bost, Alex Steinberg, Tom Voorhees, and Martha Peterson? Hearing none, those absences are excused. Next is to identify timekeepers. Adrienne, you're a tried and true timekeeper for members. Are you willing to continue that?
Sure.
Okay, great. Would anyone like to volunteer to keep time for the agenda items? I think that Mansoor, are you willing to do that?
I'll do it to 7 o'clock. I got to go to work at 7.
Okay. All right. We'll deal with it when you leave. Just let us know about 5 minutes before you're leaving. Okay, Mansoor? If we
okay.
Forget. Okay. Okay. Next thing is agenda approval. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the agenda?
Bill, I move we adopt the Rev A of the agenda. It's also posted on kpftx.org for anybody that's listening.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any corrections, additions, changes to the agenda as
Bill,
sent out?
Bill?
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
Let's move the interim CFO report up to right after agenda approval because Tamara's already here, so we don't keep her waiting.
Oh, okay. Before approval of minutes. All right. Is there a second for that?
I'll second that, Robin.
Okay. Thank you, Robin. Is there any objection to moving 5 before 4? Hearing none?
Actually, okay, that's fine. Yeah, after.
Yeah.
I was going to move it right after 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, the report out is so short.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none. That the agenda is adjusted in that way. Are there any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none. We'll move right on. So we're going to go to the report out. I'll just read that rapidly. That's the report out from the July 25th, 2019 executive session. In executive session, the PNB approved the following motions. Permanent ED search motion. The Personnel Committee recommends that Jan Goodman contact Livingston Associates to initiate a new search for a permanent executive director. The second motion is motion on underwriting. Whereas there does not exist a written policy on underwriting, and whereas Pacifica needs a clear written policy to serve as a guide for the general managers, program directors, business managers, and other administrative staff, as well as producers at our stations, and whereas this is an area with complex regulations governed by several different regulatory bodies that can generate serious penalties if they are violated, and whereas the Pacifica National Board is currently in the exploration stage with legal counsel as to a comprehensive approach to underwriting, and whereas the Pacifica National Board is responsible for setting the general policies that guide Pacifica, be it resolved that no business unit may enter into any underwriting agreement or any agreement that can be construed as an underwriting agreement until such time as this policy is revised. Any underwriting agreement that has been entered into prior to this policy directive shall be submitted to the executive director for follow-up action, and any proposal that may be construed as a possible underwriting agreement shall be submitted to the executive director for consultation with legal counsel. In addition, the Pacifica National Board also discussed confidential personnel, legal, and financial issues. And that concludes the report out from the last week's executive session. All right, so we have today, we're going to hear from our interim CFO, Tamara Swiderski. You have the floor, Tamara.
Okay, thank you, Grace. I just wanted to give everyone an update on some of the financial matters that we've all been talking about for some time. I think you all know that the fiscal year 17 audit has been completed. The auditors, Rogers and Company, are working on an amended 990 tax return for FY17 and also the California Exempt Organization annual report. There's also an annual registration renewal fee report that has been filed for FY17. The FY18 audit is being worked on very feverishly. We've already gotten some information to Rogers in order for them to file the 990, so they will meet the deadline for FY18. But it is a preliminary trial balance, so there probably will still be an amended 990 necessary after the full audit is completed. I don't know exactly what deadline we're working on now for the audit, but I know we're working to get something to the auditors that's as complete as it can be as soon as we can. It's pretty much all that I'm working on right now. Financial statements, we have been able to generate some of those out of Great Plains that I've presented to the Finance Committee, I think the early part of July, that went through February, so the first 5 months of the fiscal year. We noticed some things that needed to be corrected, so I've been working on that, and we're anticipating having some of those corrections and new data, hopefully for March and April. I'm hoping in time for the August 13th Finance Committee meeting. The Finance Committee has also asked me to begin working on the 2020 budget. So I'll be using the 18 data to make a template and send that out to all the LSB treasurers, and I plan to schedule some time to talk to each of them about it, and so they know what they're looking at, what they need to do with it, and what the time frames are that we expect things to be back to us. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot. Cash flow is still a big issue with the national office and probably many of the other stations as well. I will entertain any questions on that or any of the other points.
Thank you, Tamara. I'll take a stack of questions. Any questions for Tamara? Any questions?
Sorry, this is Eileen. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Eileen.
Tamara, I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm wondering how we're doing in terms of putting together our financial our finance policy and procedures manual or something to that effect.
I know that there was a draft of one done, but I haven't circled back, haven't seen it come back around. So I will check in with Anita on that and see if we have something that's ready to be distributed or if it's still being worked on.
Okay, but it's something that there was a draft recently then, you mean, like this year sometime?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay. And also, would that include a document retention policy? I'm asking because I'm sort of working on some ideas for document storage and retention. So I wonder if you have one already or if we should, find one on the internet.
I actually saw one circulated that was a Pacifica policy. I don't know how up to date it is, but I will find that in my email and forward it to you.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Eileen. Okay. Are there any other questions for Tamara?
Yeah, this is James. I wonder if you could forward that to all of us.
Okay, good idea. Please do that.
Certainly. I don't know that I have, I don't know that I'm on the mail for this group. I don't think I got the agenda and everything, but I can get it to someone that can probably send it out, whoever would like to.
Actually, you can just send it to pnb@pacifica.org, and it will reach us.
Okay, good.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So I don't know if I heard you. Yeah, Lawrence. I don't know if I heard you correctly, Tamara. Are you saying that, did you say that we don't have a cash flow?
That if you're going to have it like a cash flow document?
Right.
No, I have not had time to put something together for an actual cash flow. I was just stating that the cash flow for national office is still very tight, and I believe that it probably is for at least three of the stations that just consistently have, well, two that consistently have a problem with making their normal payments to national office, including central services, health reimbursement, and funding payroll.
Would it be okay to ask for a sort of like a white paper on that? Or sort of like a report? Would that be appropriate, Grace?
Tamara, would you like to respond to that?
Sure. I think you're just kind of wanting some details.
Yes.
On that? Yeah. Yeah. We can put something together as far as kind of where we are with central services and health funding and payroll. Is that kind of what you are, just kind of overall cash flow for P&O?
Yes. And one last question. Does the National Finance Committee have those papers, that paperwork?
They are appraised of how things are going as far as central services and what's being funded to P&O, but I haven't put any kind of formal cash flow together. I've just got priorities from several different folks that I'm trying to work on, along with just the day-to-day management of national office.
Okay.
Thank you, Lawrence. Two things. First of all, the senior management of Pacifica has decided that, and the finance committee and this board and recently has decided that the audits are a top priority. So everything else is being given second billing, basically, because the audits are so crucial. So work on the 2018 audit is what's taking up most of the time of our finance staff, and we'd like to keep it that way, if possible, until the 2018 audit is complete and all the attending paperwork and filings. Now, I'd like to say another thing, and that is that I've been a little bit lenient, but there are a lot of people on this call, so I'm not going to, please don't don't have follow-up questions. Please frame your initial question with everything you want to ask a speaker. And then if you wish to have a follow-up, I'll put you on a secondary stack. That way, the most people will get the most chance to ask questions. I'm sure there will be a lot of questions for our new interim executive director. So one question per person, no follow-ups. Anyone wanting to follow up will go on a secondary stack. Okay, any other questions for Tamara? Okay, hearing none, Tamara, thank you very much. Your report is much appreciated. And,
thank you. You guys took it easy on me tonight.
Okay, good night, Tamara.
Thank you, good night.
Good night.
You're
thanks,
welcome
Tamara.
To email me if you have any other questions that come up later.
Okay, next I'm very happy to introduce our new interim executive director, John Verniel. John, you have the floor.
Hello, everyone. I'm very happy to be with you all tonight. Just to say quickly, I'm very excited about the possibilities of what we need to accomplish in the next several months and looking forward to working with each of you. So I just want to give you a brief idea. I spent my first day at WBAI today, and it was a great visit. Started early this morning, and the staff there were quite gracious with their time, and I really got a chance to see the station in its current form. I haven't seen it since they were at the Wall Street location many years ago, and I have to say I was deeply moved by the experience. Both the dedication of the staff and the energy of the place, despite some very, very Spartan conditions. I would have to say, and I've learned so much more about the station and, you know, how they really suffered under Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, and the effect that it had, the lingering effect it had on the station, beyond, you know, the issues that we all know about. But despite that all, the energy was very, very positive. I met a number of people at the station, John Kane, who is just very, very impressive, who travels 8 hours to get down to a show on train all the way from Buffalo to do a show that is quite, you know, interesting. I don't know if folks are familiar with it, but it's a Native American show, and he has done some really, really good work over time, spent some time with Leonard Gopate as well as most of the staff, and with Burko and all the rest of the full-time staff, some of the interns. And I'm very, very, I have to say, I'm very impressed with what they've been able to do. The listenership is up. There is a great deal of activity happening in terms of planning to really bring in other members of the community that have not been on the air. They've really begun to diversify some of the folks that have been on there. So I'm quite impressed with where they're coming from and where they've been. The number of audiences has really climbed, and I think it will have an impact as we move forward, and we really should really look to that. I got a chance to begin at WBAI a station survey that I'm going out on the road to really kind of get to meet the staff and to really get an idea of the systems. As you know, many of our stations have different membership systems. Some have different log procedures and ability to get programming on the air. Each have different challenges. So I'm trying to create a matrix of which I will deliver at some point after we're done, hopefully within the next 60 days, to be able to give a heat map as to where, you know, where each station is at, where some strengths are, to identify weaknesses and commonalities of need, and most importantly, to see where there's opportunities for cooperation and working together. To speak to that today, I was really happy to be at BAI, and they were doing some work on air live and simultaneously with WPFW, and it was a moving moment for the people there, and it was great to see it happen. So and I don't know if folks have seen a picture of the WBAI's operating studios now. I am so impressed that they're able to maintain the air sound despite what is really almost an impossible situation. I'm looking forward to seeing their studio, their main studio completed, so that they can really take advantage of some of the great people that are not only on the air but guests that they have coming in. So. Moving on next, I just want to give everyone an outline. So I'll be visiting D.C. Next week. I'll be hitting the ground running. We'll be meeting with our attorneys down there, trying to get some context and history to really begin to do a deep dive as to the status of the stations. Additionally, I met with John, our engineer in New York. I met with him yesterday, and really got a good sense of where we're at as far as compliance issues and technical issues, and I look forward to continuing to dive on that. Next Thursday, for a day and a half, I'll be in Columbia after I leave D.C., so we'll do a review with the NEDA staff, so we'll get a chance to really put my hands around, arms around each of the areas in HR, legal, and, of course, on the financial side, and to really get a sense of it. The few calls I've had with the NEDA staff, I'm extremely impressed with the work and their professionalism and dedication. They're very well respected within public broadcasting across the board, and the work that they've done. They previously were CICA, and they've evolved into an organization that is truly of great benefit to a number of stations. So I really do want to commend them. Then I'm off to California. I'll be spending some time in Berkeley, then in we will be shutting the office, the one office we have for the national office, which goes back to the landlord. So we'll be working with NEDA to get some of the papers compiled, and we'll see which papers we need to scan, which can be archived, and which can be trashed. Then I'm off to Los Angeles to spend some time down there to meet with Mark Torres and the staff as far as the state of KPFK, and we have some good folks down there. Really, I'm looking forward to that as well, and hopefully come back to New York and write some of that stuff up, and then off to Houston and perhaps spend a little more time in D.C. because I'm not going to have a whole lot of time at WPFW, and I really do want to spend a little more time there. So that's kind of the overall. Obviously, I think we've talked about what my priorities are at this point. I don't know if we need to go over those again, but I'd be happy to do that if there's an interest.
Thank you very much, John. I'd like to take a stack for questions for John. Hello?
Jan Goodman.
Okay, great. Okay, Jan. Who was that? Jan
Ron.
And Ron. Okay.
Ron.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jan.
I think that I would be interested in having you just kind of recount what you see as your priorities at this point. Of course, one of the areas that I am most interested in is your perspective on fundraising, how you... So A, priorities, and B, fundraising, and what your thinking is right now on... what you're thinking is now on how you're going to, what your focus is going to be, or your foci, your number of focuses on fundraising, whatever, because we need short-term and long-term. And lastly, national programming and how that might fit into all of that.
John?
I put all of that together because Gray said, put it all together. So those are all things.
Okay.
Thank you, Jan.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Jan. Go ahead, John.
Well, I'll give it a shot to try to get it all in as quickly as I can. So the first priority I have is to actually just visit and learn the state of the network, both the O&O stations as well as the technical plant, and most importantly the affiliates, the state of the affiliates and the archives. So that's priority one, but I'll be working on the other two priorities along those lines. Going right into the fundraising, what is beneath all of that is to really kind of really get our arms around the audits and our financial state, so we can clearly understand what our needs are and where we're at the present time. It's a critical part of fundraising to be able to have those audits done and out of the way, because it's generally a condition for the kind of foundation and institutional funding that we'll be going after. So I'm really happy that we're getting closer, and I know that is a priority as far as all of us, to get those audits done and completed, getting a qualified opinion and having those all rolled up so we can get a good snapshot. Because ultimately, we really do need to see where we're going as far as financial projections. Though, you know, we all know that Pacifica is unique in the public media realm. Fundraising across the system, this is anecdotally, this year has been down in general. Some people are down 10%, some are down 20%. So we're in a bit of a little bit of downturn. The Trump bump, as it was called in public media, the first year, is really kind of it's declined across the board, and even this is across the board, even the largest, most successful stations. So, you know, connecting with all of that, that doesn't mean that we can't do better on our air, because there's just a number of really wonderful locally produced programs and national programs. And what I'm hoping to do is I'm looking to, and I actually have a few folks that I know both in the PMDMC, the greater public universe, and folks that are in the community radio side that have done fundraising. So I'm hoping to entertain a couple of proposals to see if we can get some assistance at a local station level It's something that I've heard from, certainly at BAI. I had an initial conversation with Jack at T. And it's something that folks really feel they need to have some assistance with. As far as moving forward with other fundraising ideas, you know, honestly, it's just very early days. It's, you know, I'm in my 13th hour today, my first official day, and it's beginning to come together as to what our possibilities are without audits. And clearly, you know, we're looking at, you know, angel donors and folks that really are not institutional, and the opportunities that may be there. So, you know, we know that there are a number of people that really appreciate what we're doing, and I think that perhaps maybe the low-lying fruit beyond really improving our over-the-air fundraising efforts, those seem to be the most immediate ability of our party. Most immediate targets. As far as CPD, that is a priority. I'll be hopefully meeting with someone from the CPD staff next week. I'll also be briefing with John Quigler to really see where we're at and what the opportunities are with CPD. There's obviously, you know, some history and some real benchmarks and that I need to make sure that they're clear to me before I can report to you. But, you know, this is something I know that's been a priority for all of us for quite some time. So that is where I think we're at as far as fundraising. As far as asset programming, again, it's a little bit early for me to really say anything. I do have to say it was very, you know, again, being around our program director, Linda, in New York. She has some really great ideas, and just in knowing as we go through the rest of the stations and the affiliates, that there are going to be ideas and commonalities and some opportunities for cooperation where we may be able to attempt an effort that may be cost effective, and that's what I'm hoping to find. But it's really early days to answer that. I'd like to get a deeper dive into audience figures. I was able to review the BAIs, and I don't have a login yet to the RRC data. It'd be great if I can really dive into that, but, you know, at this point, you know, the immediate priorities are those of compliance and the audit. That's the focus over the next several days, and the safety visit. So I hope I've answered your questions, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you, John.
By the way,
yeah, Lawrence, to the stack.
Jan, please.
The signal is uneven. I just wanted to do something so that the rest of whatever he says, I didn't want to interrupt him, but it's very difficult to hear because it goes up and down and in and out.
Yeah, John, is there any way you can improve the sound quality of your phone somehow?
Unfortunately, I'm not sure. Are you hearing static or?
No, you're just sort of going in and out, and it's somewhat unclear.
My apologies, folks. I need to put it in a landline here. So unfortunately, I'm stuck with my. My mobile phone here at the moment, so my apologies. If it's unbearable, I can redial in and see if I can get a better connection.
Does that help?
Yes. It's just occasionally an issue because of the traffic in the area. There's a lot of usage.
Okay.
On the network.
Well, you know what, John, I made a goof and I didn't get the board to approve the minutes. So while you're dialing in, I will do the minutes approval, which I forgot to do.
Excellent.
All right. Okay.
All right.
So you have a couple of minutes. All right. So now we have some minutes to be approved. Bill, can you let the board know which minutes are there for approval?
Okay. I sent minutes for the open sessions of June 6th and June 27th. So I move that we approve those. Or actually, all I need to do is ask if there's any corrections.
All right. Are there any corrections to the June 6th minutes? Any corrections? All right. Hearing none, they are adopted. And the next date is June 12th, did you say, Bill?
June 27th.
June 27th. Sorry. Are there any corrections to the June 27th minutes? Okay. No corrections to the June 27th minutes? All right. And those that set of minutes is adopted. All right. Are there any other minutes, Bill? And do you have a prediction on when there will be other sets of minutes for approval for the board?
Those are the only ones I have. That's the only ones I have right now. Just been really busy with other stuff, mostly Pacifica. I'll try to get some more to you next week, though. I don't know if we'll have another meeting, but I should be getting caught up more. The weekly meetings of B&B make it a little harder to catch up, too.
Okay. Yeah, Bill's been doing a huge amount of work to help me and the foundation in this interim period before John Verniel got started. And so it's
I'm back, by the way.
Bill. Oh, good.
Sorry,
good,
back.
John. While I have the attention, I think so. We'll know in a few minutes. I just would like to mention that in the last open meeting, we approved some money for a secretary for the board. So if there's anybody out there who would like to apply for this temporary contractor-type assignment, it's $25 an hour for doing the minutes for P&B meetings with a maximum of 6 hours per minute. So if we have two meetings, let's say an open session and a closed session, that would be 6 hours maximum for creating the minutes for the open session, and then another 6 hours maximum for the closed session at a rate of $25 an hour if anybody's interested. Okay.
Or someone can volunteer.
Or somebody can volunteer. If you wish to volunteer, that would be good as well. Back to you, John. The next person on the stack is Ron Pinchback.
How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good.
Welcome to the NFL.
Thank you.
<All right. laughs> Okay, listen, you said you're going to come to PFW next week. We begin our summer drive next week. In fact, we begin it this coming Saturday. I hope you will be around and get a chance to observe, what we do there in terms of players' drives. And we would definitely be interested in getting some feedback from you about how we, how we conduct things and, just some thoughts and ideas maybe. While you're here, about, ways to improve or some things that we can consider. How long will you be in D.C.?
I'll be in D.C. just about 2 days, and I reached out to Jerry, and we've been waiting on some meeting times from a few folks, the CPB folks and the attorneys. So my guess is that I'm most likely, if I can, if you're in fundraising mode, I might come on by directly on Monday night, stop by and hang out for a little while, and hopefully meet with the staff whatever parts of the day I'm free on Tuesday and on Wednesday until I leave in the evening, so I could be there at least until well, about 7 o'clock on Wednesday. But I do plan on coming back. That's the other aspect. It's a little bit easier on this coast. And I do want to spend a lot more time with you guys and as well as BAI and also T in Houston.
All right. Well, we look forward to meeting with you. Thank you.
Ron.
I
thank
too.
You, thank you. Okay. All right.
Great. Could you put me on the stack? This is Lawrence.
Lawrence, yes. And would anyone else like to be on the stack? All right. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So just to get back, welcome, John. Thank you for taking on the position. So just to get back to where Jan was approaching, in regards to strategies for fundraising, that's not the traditional fundraising that we do, that we have been doing for so long. Do you have any other strategies? And do you plan on meeting with governance at some point in your tenure? So if you could just keep it short and concise for me, that would be well appreciated. Thank you.
Well, as far as other strategies that are beyond the ones that are common, that's one of the reasons why I'm visiting, is to try to poll folks and see if there are any ideas that are out there, and if anything really comes to mind. I think innovations are generally happen at a local level. They happen with individuals and folks working in ways that are innovative, and that's what I'm hoping to find is to see, you know, where the energy is and what can work. Clearly, you know, we had the opportunity to get the materials from Greater Public and the traditional model of public radio. That's those scripts, those ideas are available to us. I'm hoping to bring on a couple of folks to help at a local station level. Clearly, we do things a little bit differently than traditional public radio. It's definitely more in a community radio mode. There are some folks that have worked effectively in that, and it's a local decision as far as if folks are interested in getting that help. I know that in the past there's been one station or two that have had that. It was more of a traditional public radio approach, and there wasn't a whole lot of interest. And I don't think any of us are interested in spending resources that we don't have to if there's not interest. So I'm trying to gauge that as we go, Lawrence, just so we're spending effectively. So that I'm sorry, was that your only question, Lawrence? I'm sorry, I was focusing on one.
Grace, can I mention the second question I asked?
Yes, go ahead.
At some point in your tenure, are you going to meet with the governor structure, other than the PNB?
I would suppose local government structure. I would suppose so, but ultimately, the time is very short, and I've just done a roll up of the amount of meetings that I'm going to have to attend, and it's really creeping into a very high amount, regular staff meetings as well as the board meetings. So I'm a little concerned just given the time and the urgency of some of the matters that we're attending to. And I'm assuming that the folks here that are representatives from the stations that do carry the interests and messages, concerns of the local station, of the LSPs. So I'd love to. It's a question of will time allow with these trips and trying to be mindful of expense and time. I'm uncertain. I would love to do it. I just don't know how much time we'll have. I hope to, but in this first round I'm not sure how much of that I can do.
Thank you. Thank you, Lawrence and John. Anyone else like to ask John questions? Anyone else? All right, I'll ask a question then for John. John, how do you think that your experience in premium development and also fundraising for PBS stations and your radio station past? Because you were the general manager in the 80s of two separate radio stations at different times, how do you think that experience will help you as the interim executive director of Pacifica?
Well, just to clarify, I was a GM of a radio and a GM and a station manager of a public alternative public TV station in Philly. So I have experience and clearly at several other stations in a non-GM position. Here's the thing. I think, when you're talking about fundraising, appealing on a basis of mission and service, those things are universal. Ultimately, and my most recent experience over the last 15 years, I've done an extensive amount of fundraising for public television on air, and also in writing scripts and editing and creating pledge events, the national pledge events. And what we found in all of that, it's really one of connecting with our listeners, in this case, our listeners or viewers, in our case, our listeners. And to really explain what our mission is, to articulate it in a way that they understand their role in what we're trying to achieve and to really engage and energize them with not only you know, stepping out and supporting, but to be, become an active active member of our communities. That's the one thing that's consistent, and I think that's when it works, that's what makes phones ring, that's what drives people to give. I just, from the day-to-day experiences when we were doing live, you know, both radio and in television, when there's a live volunteer, the energy is quite different, and you could always tell, you know, when we were hitting on the things that were most important to our audience, the things that have moved them, things that have informed them, that's when, and if you can communicate that in a way that is both appreciative, optimistic, then you get somewhere. One of the appeals that have always been important and worked very well is to speak to all the people that can't afford to give, for folks that can't afford to give. There are so many people that, you know, that listen and participate that just don't have the resources to do so. And some do, and it's a matter of articulating them the message so that you do get that resonance. So I think we have a lot of that. We certainly have passion. You know, ultimately, our hosts are the best people to convey that. I think, you know, it helps to have, you know, trained staff people help that along. It's not something that, unless you're doing it for years, it's not something that's second nature. It's difficult to ask people for money. But on the other hand, you know, when you're connected to your mission and you can speak to your audience, that's what makes the phones ring, and that's what will propel us. And I think we just have to do, you can always do a better job of explaining that. And that's what I'm hoping we're going to be able to do.
This is James. I have a question.
Okay. Thank you, John. James, go ahead.
Yeah, this is with regard to fundraising. We had some information recently that some of our fundraising methods were old-fashioned, out of date, not state of the art, I guess. And in particular, some things that we don't do, at least at WBAI, we don't remind our members when their membership is expiring. We don't send out appeals for funds for special purposes or just for general purposes. You know, with on postcards for to save money on mailings, and also, you know, we've traditionally followed a model of appealing to people who don't have a lot of money. And while I'm concerned that we don't have enough money, and I want to go anywhere we can to get the money, what can we do to make sure it doesn't alter the nature of our appeal to working people?
I definitely appreciate what you're saying, and it's absolutely true, because if you're really looking towards how should I put this? I don't think you could change the nature of it. I know it may be old fashioned, but there aren't a whole lot of other ways to do it. I wasn't around in the 1929 to hear the original KPFA folks do it. But it really hasn't changed much. I mean, premiums have changed. That's part of the mix. There's appeals now. There's been a real emphasis on appealing, not providing premiums at all, and really kind of focusing on, you know, direct gift and not encouraging people with a premium. But you know, in the end, premiums work, and they're great when you can get premiums that put your signage, your posters on the street for promotional purposes. It's great when people using your tote bags and wearing your t-shirts and hats. All that is, it's tried and true. Can you do it better? Always can do it better. And I think when it comes to the messaging, one of the things that really works is pre-producing spots and really spending the time, especially with your hosts, if they're uncomfortable, to really go in and tailor and spend the time in production. You know, oftentimes we do this on the fly, and some people are good at extemporaneous speech, some are not. Ultimately, spending more time in production is always a great way to do it. Some stations have done really, really well with creative spots, and that's something I'd like to see. You know, that takes resources, time, training. And some, you know, I haven't visited all the stations, but my guess is, some are not in the same position as others. You know, just being at the WBAI facilities today, I'm amazed at what that folks have been able to accomplish. But the studio is limited, and ultimately, you know, that's what helps propel those kinds of spots. So I'd like to see more of that because it makes it more effective. And sometimes I really get at it. A number of the national shows, for example, on NPR, and I'm talking about the main programs, programs like The Moth and the like, they've had, you know, Against American Life, they've done some appeals on tape that have been extremely effective, and fundraising shows that are really some of the highlights of what they've done in the last several months, being able to put those shows shows that they've recorded and really working around that kind of work really, really does a lot of good and can raise sort of significant money. I think folks are already doing that. You know, we know some of those shows. So I hope I've answered your question. I need to spend more time with it to really see it. But I think the innovation is just a matter of just doing it, you know, just spending more time, getting some help might be a good thing, and sharing the resources amongst ourselves, because we're unique in that way. We're a unique service. We're doing something that you know, traditional public radio really isn't doing. So it's a matter of articulating that and you know, calling people to help us in an effective way. We just have to figure out what works and try to apply and share that amongst our stations.
Thank you, John.
This category, and then the audio was really bad, so didn't hear any of it. Anyways, 3 minutes left.
Okay. Who else would like to ask John a question?
I have a follow-up question for John. Ron?
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
John, I'd like to pick your brain about the effectiveness of websites, whether it be the station's website or Pacifica website, in terms of fundraising. How effective or how valuable was that as a fundraising tool in your experience, and ways that we can improve and enhance that capability?
Well, it's definitely been, an increasingly important way of raising money, and you know, as folks become more familiar, especially you know, millennials are great at it. They get it. They prefer it. But I'm finding, you know, even some people in my older demo, and you know, my dad does it now, and he's 88 years old. You know, he pledges online. So I'm seeing increasingly people want to do it. Plus, it keeps our costs under control. You know, we don't have to, you know, have to organize volunteers or pay an answering service to get it done. People are a lot more comfortable with it. So I definitely see, in terms of trending, that is absolutely becoming more and more prevalent. And certainly easier for everyone because, you know, if, especially, you know, as we move towards better membership systems and fulfillment, that might cut down on some of the, you know, the day-to-day hassles of getting the premiums together and out. It's certainly a more effective way of gathering that data and being able to port it out. Whether you're doing it with volunteers or with a mailing house. So all of that is great. You get less errors. You definitely get a lot less entry errors because people know their names, they spell them well. And, you know, the typical problems that the stations have when volunteers, and even the call centers, there's such a high error rate, especially when you're going to, you know, when you're going to discount houses. I was hearing some of that from BAI today, from Andrea, that you know, we do our best, but we have to keep costs under control, and you know, they range in price. You know, expensive when you're taking phone calls at a service. You know, it can range from $1 a minute to a flat fee, and it could really radically change your costs. So web is the way to go. I know that there's been a real movement towards utilizing phone and text kind of based fundraising, and Stripe is something that PBS has been playing with, utilization of Stripe as a means. So I think we have to look at all of these things, and you know, obviously, you know, under we're under-resourced in some of the stations, so whatever we can do from as a network to really kind of find these and to negotiate good deals on behalf of all the stations, that's something I'm very interested in doing. That's something that's really at the top of my list, is where can we find economies on tools to help us all.
And one quick follow-up, is there any value to promoting Pacifica and the various stations through print media, like local newspapers?
No, actually, that's a real deficiency. We don't have a coordinated publicity effort, and we have some great programs. And whether you're looking at traditional print, which is declining but still there, online, the Twitter side of things, I know people are doing their best to put the word out, but we lack a coordinated promotion publicity for Pacifica in general, and that's something that would be really helpful to have. And yeah, I'm hoping we can find the resources or get the resources donated. That's one of the things I'm hoping to do when I get back to New York, because there are a number of publicists that are here, and there are some folks that like us, and my hope is that we may be able to get some in-kind donation as a publicist to assist us in getting the word out and some stories, not only on the network but on the stations. We really need that, because we have programs that are amazing, that really need to be out there and need to be retweeted. You know, some of the programs are outstanding. There was a program I heard on PFW, a prison-related program, that was deeply moving to me. I heard 2 weeks ago, and I was just, why isn't this out there? It needs to be public. And we have so many programs that are like that, that we do need a coordinated and effective response.
I'll read again. I'll keep writing.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Time is up.
All right.
Time is up for this.
The time is up for this item.
Can we give, because the
we're gonna,
Grace?
I hear you, Mansoor.
I want to make a request, please, because the connection was so bad. Can we get like a summary of what was said, just in one sentence or whatever for each topic?
All right. If somebody would be willing to volunteer to do that, that would be wonderful.
Ralph is here.
Okay. Thank you for announcing yourself, Ralph. Thanks for the – we'll see what we can do, Mansoor. All right, now we're going to go on to the next thing on the agenda. So the next thing – thank you very much, John, and thank you, everyone else. Very good introduction. Much appreciated. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is committee reports and motions. And the first thing is we have something from the Finance Committee. I think there was some talk about referring that or postponing that for another meeting. This is the motion on loan documents. Bill or Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
Hey, Bill, I'm in the middle of something right now. Is it possible for you to handle this?
Sure,
yeah.
Okay.
Bill, can you handle it?
Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Well, let me read. I can read the motion first. That it came from the National Finance Committee. It was short. It's on the agenda. The NFC strongly requests that the interim executive director ask the lender if the NFC could be sent the loan documents. So that's the motion, and it has to do with the big $3.25 million loan, because the Finance Committee would like to see more details to help them better comply with the terms of the loan and preparing budgets and things like that. So I had talked to Chris and Grace and forget who else. I think what the idea is, John, I think Chris would like to talk to John Krigler, who had directly talked to the lender back last year, because we're getting too many people in between. And where the hope is that perhaps he could explain to John Krigler why they need to look at the loan documents and see what maybe the issues might be, and then decide whether or not it would be best to go ahead and ask the lender or not. Because one of the fears is that if we've been told that the lender doesn't want to release them, and they're being very nice to us and very patient and tolerant, and we don't want to irritate them, shall we say. But it would be helpful to have the documents. So I hope I'm explaining this okay, Chris, but I guess I'd like to move that we postpone consideration of this until Chris can have an opportunity to talk to John Krigler, who was the person who had actually talked to the lender back last year.
Yeah, I'm free now, Bill. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm completely amenable to this proposal. I think it's a good way around the inputs at the moment. There's still some unanswered questions, but I'm sure that John Friedrich can answer them. And I agree. It's kind of become like a game of telephone. You know, we ask a question, it goes three times, and by the time it actually reaches the court that's capable of answering it, I'm not sure that the original question was even answered. Anyway, it would be nice to short circuit that. So, thank you.
Okay, so I'll consider that a second. Is there any objection to postponing consideration of this motion until a future meeting? All right. Hearing no objection, we will postpone consideration of that motion. The next thing, and I believe the last thing on the agenda tonight, is a motion on allocation of windfall revenue. Before we go into that, are there any other committee motions or any other motions that should be on this agenda that are not?
I just have affiliates report, if that's possible, Ms. Robin.
And
okay,
I have a very good committee report as well.
Okay. Is that Adrian?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Go ahead, Adrian.
I can go after Robin.
Oh, okay. But I think I thought that you spoke up first. I just couldn't make out what you were saying or who you were.
Oh, okay. I can go then. The Personnel Committee held a meeting where an agreement was made to further reinforce the expectation that information to and from the transition team would flow equally between members, and that no one member would should be kept out of the loop, so to speak, on any given matter. In addition to that, an agreement was made that the transition team would define the roles and responsibilities by August 5th, and what else? And that they have weekly meetings with John Vernielle. And Mr. Vernielle should have an email to that effect. If you're still on the call, please feel free to reach out if you have any questions or concerns. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Adrian. And the next, is there any discussion about that? Or this is just a report from the Personnel Committee. Is that correct? You're not putting forward a motion?
No, just a report.
Okay. Thank you, Adrian. Anybody else like to comment or say anything about that report or anything happening in the Personnel Committee? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to a report from the Affiliates Task Force.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that Ursula has signed a contract to produce daily 3-minute spots on the Iowa election coverage, which will be branded. It's a joint collaboration with the Pacific News Service and Pacific Affiliates Network, and that will be available on AudioPort to all the stations branded with Pacifica and the Public News Service. So it'll give – there's so much activity in Iowa. It's a great 3-minute spot that can run by all the stations. So,
That's terrific. That's excellent. Thank you for that. Any other news from the affiliate network?
Well, the other thing is that Ursula expressed concern that in this transition time, a lot of the staff at all the different units, they just hear all these things. They attend, all the treasurers attend the finance committee. They see all this turmoil, and it would really be helpful from Ursula's point of view if the board could directly reach out to all the units and, explain that they're really working on solving these financial difficulties. And, it could be the IED doing this. But she lost a staff member just recently because he's got so bummed out about how bad things were. And I think things are improving. But there really needs to be communication from the board saying that the board is really working on figuring out how they're going to pay back the loan. And there should be, I know we have to, with all the transition, there's things you can't talk about. You have to wait till all agreements are made. But the staff is maybe being left out of that. And so that was just her concern. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Thank you very much, Robin. Very important point. All right. Any questions about the affiliate network report?
No, Chair. I have a request. There's somebody that's either snoring
or is they're not on mute. Can you ask them to stop that? It's really disconcerting.
Okay. I don't see...
Maybe breathing into their mic.
Yeah, I don't see any of that. I see a little rustling, but nothing showing up on the Maestro panel. But if I detect anything, Lawrence, I'll request that the person creating the noise mute their phone. And just in general, if there's any noise in your vicinity, please mute your phone. Okay. The next thing is the last thing on the agenda, unless there are any other committee reports. Okay, hearing no committee reports. The last thing on the agenda is this motion on allocations of windfall revenue. Bill Crozier, that's your motion. Can you read it and motivate it?
Okay, I'll read it first. Dispersal of large windfalls in revenue above $200,000 should be discussed by the National Finance Committee and Strategic Planning Committee in addition to the ED and CFO and then approved by the PNB. So that's the motion. I'll be glad to motivate it after a second.
Okay. Will anyone second this motion?
Robin will second.
Thank you, Robin. All right. Let's open this up for discussion. Bill, why don't you motivate it?
Okay, so this came out of discussions in both the Finance Committee and the Strategic Planning Committee after we got that. There was a bequest over $500,000 that came into us, and we used it almost exclusively to pay down debt and some other related financial obligations, not current operating expenses, and I believe $200,000 was to be spent on the interest for this $3.25 million loan and another $100,000 towards the principal. But we didn't really have a formal process to discuss this. And so the motion is to basically put in place, I guess it's not an absolute requirement, but it says should be discussed by the National Finance Committee and the Strategic Planning Committee along with management. In terms of how to use such windfall revenue.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bill. James, there's some noise coming from your phone, so can you mute if you're not speaking, please?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm sorry. Did I interrupted you, Bill? Would you repeat the last sentence, please?
Okay. Well, there's still some noise again.
Yeah,
somebody.
James, can you fix the noise? James? Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I think I'm just done. It's just that the idea is those two committees involved in the discussions along with management in how to allocate large amounts of revenue from a bequest or a major gift or from any other source.
Is there anyone against this motion?
I just have a question about it, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead.
Why 200? Why that amount, I guess, is my question. How did you reach the conclusion that 200 was the amount?
Well, it's sort of a trade-off. I'm not sure that's necessarily the right number. Management needs some flexibility on a daily basis, or at least weekly basis, to decide, which bills need to be paid when, which can be put off, especially when we have cash flow that's tight. The idea was that larger amounts that come in that are not expected, it would be helpful to have a discussion with these two committees. If you try to do it for amounts that are too small, it just takes too long. It keeps things tied up. And, if you say given $50,000 or even $100,000, it might get swallowed up pretty quickly anyway, just on perhaps paying down some other debt that we have besides this large loan, but larger amounts especially we should. Anyway, there was sort of a request from both committees, but I'm not sure that's necessarily the right amount. If you want to amend that, it's okay with me.
Okay. Adrian,
Ron,
would you like
to?
Okay. First, Adrian, would you like to make an amendment or have any other comment about this motion?
No, I wouldn't even know where to begin to think about a different amount, but I was just wondering how they came to that amount, that conclusion. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Adrian. Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, how you doing? My question is this. The windfall revenue, are you talking about revenue that comes to the national office exclusively, or are you talking about windfalls that come to benefit one of the units? For example, if somebody gave, BAI $200,000, so would you want that money to go, what happens to that money? Should that be decided as part of this the Strategic Planning Committee and the EDCFO and approved by the PNB as to what that money could be used for? And that's, that's my question. Does this exclusively apply to the national office, or does this apply to the individual units as well?
That's a very good point, Ron. And would you like to possibly add an amendment to add the words, the NFC strongly requests that dispersal of all large windfalls received by the national office. I'd like to add wording of that to that effect to this motion, because I believe, Bill, am I correct in assuming that this is simply windfall that is meant for the foundation itself, not for any of the stations or units? Is that correct?
Well, I deliberately did not say that. We can discuss it, but unless there's a restriction by the donor, this is it has to be used by a specific station. Sometimes it is restricted, and we are legally obligated to follow the restrictions, of course. But we have four of our stations owe substantial amounts of money to the national office anyway, and so it might just get attributed to that. It's likely it would get attributed to that, a major donation. Unless it was for some restricted to some capital equipment or something like that. But the idea is just to discuss it with those two committees in management. And, they might decide, okay, well, we'll use it on this particular station, but we're really cash short. The big loan, just remember, we wouldn't have had to borrow that much money, maybe not any money, if all the stations have been able to make essential services payments over the years. Now I realize there's reasons why some of them haven't been able to do it, but if an unexpected large amount of money comes in, I think it'd be reasonable to have those two committees involved in the discussions with how to use it.
Okay, back to you, Ron. I asked you, so I'm going to see if you want to answer whether you want to amend this motion.
Yeah, I would like to amend this motion. Unless there's a mechanism for station management to be involved in this process. I mean, if you're restricting the input to the Strategic Planning Committee, the ED and CFO, then what about the station? What about the unit managers? I think they should have a voice in this, because one of the units may have a dire need for that $200,000. At least he can he'll have an opportunity to state their case before the committee. So if I was going to amend this, I would say that that the unit managers also have an opportunity to weigh in on how that money is dispersed.
Chris, I'll second that, Bill.
Okay, Ron.
Lawrence to the spec.
Okay, hold on a moment. Would you like to, can you put this, an amendment in writing, Ron, and send it to the board?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, very good. When you're ready, let us know. And now, was that Bill? Did you want to speak to that?
Second his amendment.
It hasn't come forward yet. It hasn't written it up yet. But Okay.
We'll just go on to the next person.
Okay. Lawrence?
Yes,
yeah, I like this motion. I probably support it. But did you study the word? Did you study the word windfall instead of bequeaths or estates? Is there any particular reason you use windfall?
Well, I don't want to limit it to just bequests. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, a windfall is a broader term than bequest. We could, I don't know. There can be other money that's not specifically from a bequest, but some sort of a donation from a live person who says, I love you dearly, and here's $1 million. So that would, and I wish that would happen. If there's anyone out there who can do that, we would be willing and eager and happy to have that windfall. So a windfall is just a slightly broader term. It covers more things than a bequest. It's unexpected money or goods or services. Okay. Anybody else like to speak to this motion?
Chris Corey.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
So I generally like the motion. The wording I suggested to Bill, which I think he was kind of ambivalent about, was that that the money be primarily dedicated to servicing the loan. I suggested adding that on to the end of the amendment. I might also add, or excuse me, the end of the motion. I might also add that that since the Finance Committee has members of the local station boards there, it doesn't have general management, but it has the treasurer present. There is representation from the LSBs at the National Finance Committee, so it isn't as if the individual stations won't have any say or be able to make their case for funds that are donated directly. Excuse me. Sorry. To the foundation or to any individual station. So I'm not sure that that it would be the case that individual stations wouldn't have any say whatsoever. So anyway, I'm not sure whether I'm suggesting that as an amendment or not. I'd actually like to respond to it because we've been going back and forth over email about this, and so I just haven't really, we haven't really spoken directly about it. So if Bill could respond, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Go ahead, Bill, if you can answer that.
Well, some people, I prefer also that it be that almost always be used to go towards debt, interest and or principal. But the examples came up. Well, suppose a station cannot make payroll, and this has happened recently. And if there's no cash in the office, national office anywhere else, you're either going to have to borrow it from another station, or maybe use this. And we have a legal obligation to always, payroll's the first priority. We have to do that. That's, I don't think that's going to come up very often, and hopefully that would only be temporary. But that's an example. But I think in general, I agree with Chris that normally we go towards servicing debt, large amounts, until we get the debt under control. And I think that's what the committees will probably recommend anyway.
Yeah. So
but I'd rather not put that in the motion.
I understand. So the wording I was suggesting was that the majority go to it, and if we're talking about 200,000, then we're talking about 100,000. Does any station have more than 100,000 in payroll? I don't know the answer to that question. And the CFO is off the line, so I'm not sure we'll be able to get it answered, but I think the answer is no. In any case, I guess it can be, I guess we can stuff, yeah, I guess I could bring a separate motion later if this turns out to be a problem, but that's, I'm just deeply concerned about the debt obligation and would like to see it serviced as rapidly as possible. I think my opinion shared by probably at least a narrow majority, if not a wide majority on the board. And, but I don't have a particular wording that I'd like to suggest for that amendment. I'm just, anyway, that's what I have to say about it. Thank you.
Adrian to the staff.
Okay.
I did send the amendment.
Is that
Bill.
Ron? Okay.
Yeah, I sent it to Bill. Bill, you're going to have to resend it out.
Oh, okay. Can you do that, Bill? And we'll take Adrian, and then we'll go back to Ron so he can read his amendment
okay.
when we all receive it. Adrian, go ahead.
I was just going to ask Bill if he could – are you in a position right now, Bill, where you can tack on what Chris Corey said, a majority of the money be allocated to debt? Are you in a position to do that? Because I think we could pass it tonight. I think that there's support for that, and I would hate to delay it or lose the opportunity to maybe pass that.
I can do that. I mean, that's a separate amendment, I guess. But
yeah. Are you in a position to do it?
Give me the, if that's okay with Ron, I'll add it to his motion.
Grace, will you ask Ron?
I have some concern about that second motion there.
Okay, let's take one thing at a time, everybody.
And actually, first, I've already seconded Ron's motion, so it probably should be a separate amendment.
Yeah. Okay, so do we have Ron, while we're waiting for to receive your motion from Bill, can you read your amendment? Ron, can
sure.
you read your amendment?
My amendment is simple. I ask that the motion be amended to include the unit managers in the discussion of how such financial windfalls should be distributed by the network.
Okay. Is there a second? So, Bill, did you want to second Ron's? Oh, I think you already did. Is that
yes,
correct?
I seconded it. Yes,
okay.
And I just forwarded it to
good.
The PNB.
Okay, now what we're going to do next is we're going to discuss Ron's amendment to Bill's motion. Want to motivate it, Ron?
Well, my thinking is simple. You know, the unit managers are on the ground. You know, they may have, you know, and trust me, I know we have cash flow issues at all the stations, at most of the stations at least. If somebody is going to give up, you know, a large chunk of money to help that unit, the person may specify that it goes to, you know, a particular unit. But if the money, we had $1 million grant one time that got kind of usurped, you know, by the network. So it's a, you know, it's a, I'm just trying to protect, give the unit managers an opportunity to weigh in, you know, on such windfall opportunities. It could make a station solvent, you know, for a year, catch up on its own, you know, commitments to the network and to its vendors. So I think the unit managers, you know, should have some discussion, should be part of that discussion, you know, especially if that money is coming from a particular signal area.
Thank you, Ron.
Parliamentarian for the stack.
Yes. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I wanted to say something about this motion, but also, Madam Chair, I have a couple of text that I wanted you to read. Concerning this motion, unit managers should be placed in the motion right after CFO.
So agreed.
For basis of any secondary amendments, at least we know where this amendment is placed.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
You're
okay.
Welcome.
That's a good point. Ron, is that okay with you?
Yes.
And is there any objection to the slight change in the placement of the wording that Mr. Tatum is suggesting?
No.
Okay.
No objection.
All right. Hearing no objections by anybody, we'll continue discussion about this amendment to the main motion. Would anyone else like to speak?